very much an emphasis on origins, but the emphasis on origins in the education system is on the evolutionary process rather than the creation process. Creation and evolution are in stark difference to each other. The Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And so when you look at creation, you should be able to see design, because the Bible says God built everything, all things. You should be able to see design. You should be able to see all types of information in creation. Whereas the evolutionary process is all about things coming together through chance, random things happening over a long period of time, which, as we'll see in a minute, does not make a great deal of sense. So the first thing we need to look at, is the nature of the Creator. Now, the Creator of the universe is intelligent and purposeful. That is, He has a purpose for creating. Now, John 1, verses 1 and verse 3 says this, and we'll read it out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now the question is, who is this person called the Word? Well, it says the Word was God. And we know that the Bible says in John 1 verse 14 that He was made flesh and dwelt among us as the only begotten of God, only begotten Son of God. So we know that it is the Lord Jesus Christ, and His title is the Word. So we can see that right from the beginning of everything that we see is this title, the Word. The Word implies information, doesn't it? It doesn't imply something that has no knowledge behind it, but it implies that God has injected information into His creation. That is, when you look at something, you see purpose, you see design, you see something has been made with a particular purpose behind it. So God has put information into creation. So Christ's title as the Word implies information or words were used to create. And Colossians 1 verse 16a says, for by Him, that's by the Lord Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. So we can see very clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator. And right at the very beginning, in Genesis 1 verse 3, this is an example, God said, you see the words God said right through Genesis 1. And here's an example in Genesis 1 verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So words were used to create. And as we said before, the title of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word implies that information was injected into creation. Information means that there is something that needs someone to put intelligence into that design. The intelligence we see is by the Creator, the Word. Glory to God. So it's not hard to see information in creation. We can clearly see information in creation, for example, in the coding and programming, such as the DNA molecule. And the DNA molecule is in all living creatures. That's coding and programming is in there. That's information. There's a different amount of information in an amoeba type creature than there is in a human or a man. A huge amount of information is saying, what does that DNA say? It says how to build the creature, because DNA is in all living creatures, how to build the creature, and how that creature is to function. So your DNA as a man or a woman will determine how you are built, two arms, head, eyes, ears, functioning properly, all in the right place, and so on. And you are built, it tells you how you are built, and it also tells you how you are to function as a living being. And there's all types of things in that as well. Now, the second dot point there that we can see information has been injected into creation is through systems and cycles in operations throughout. You see it all over the place. For example, in the water cycle. Evaporation goes into the clouds, it rains. Evaporation, clouds, rains. If that wasn't in place, the plants would not be able to function, we would not be able to have water, and so on. But there's all types of cycles right through, which you can look at on Earth, you can look at it in the solar system, you can look at it right through the universe. This is information. It hasn't come about by chance. It's been put there. We can also see the mathematical laws governing how things operate, such as the law of gravity. The law of gravity, if you were to study, for example, the subject called physics, you will know that there are various natural laws which have particular, what they call formulae, or formulas that describe how the law is to operate. And the law of gravity is just one of those. There's the law of electrostatics and all types of laws that are in place in the physical creation which govern how things operate in the physical creation. So if you were to say, well, I need to understand the planet Earth, well, you'd have to study its systems, you'd have to study how it's structured, and so on. So if you want to understand something, you look at its structure, you look at its systems, you look at what's been in place, what's been put in place. And so we see the law of gravity is a very firm law. If you don't believe that, go and step off, and I don't want you to do this, but if you go and step off a two-story building, you're not going to float away into the sky normally, are you? You're likely, the force of gravity, the law of gravity, is going to come into operation. There would need to be another law in operation, such as the law of lift in an aeroplane, to get you to go up into the air. So this type of thing is very important for us to understand. There are laws in creation that are mathematically described. Mathematically described. Why? Only a designer, only someone with intelligence who has put information into creation, who has put design into creation, can explain that. The other one is the balance in creation that we see, that last dot point there, the balance in creation, such as the precise location of Earth from the sun. The Bible says that the Earth has been made to be inhabited, and we see that quite clearly. Right temperature, right distance from the sun, got the right atmosphere, there's plant life here which generate oxygen, all types of things have been in place, so there is a balance, so that the Earth, and you can look at other planets such as Mars and so on, that don't have that same balance at all. So it is not hard to see that there has been information put into creation. And you might say, well, why is it that others can't see it? Why is it, for example, the atheists and so on can't see it? Well, the Bible says it's a spiritual problem. It talks about that, and we'll look at that in a few moments. It talks about the minds of them that believe not have been blinded. Blinded because, and so it's a spiritual problem. Satan obviously doesn't want people to know that God exists. He doesn't want people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly not believe in him as the creator, because it's very important for him to get God out of the picture, and that's his whole agenda. There's other things we could say about information and creation. We'll look at it in a bit more detail in a minute, about molecular machinery, particularly in the cells. molecular machinery, if you think about that. And there's other things such as irreducible complexity. How could evolution produce an eye, for example? You take out one part of the eye, for example, the lens, or just one small part of the eye, and it doesn't function as an eye. There's no way to explain an eye or an ear or other organs of the body which, by a chance random process, building up to having that full eye or that full organ in place. There's no other way to explain it other than by it was designed, put into place, and God created it. Praise the Lord. Now, God says that people are without excuse about creation. So why are people without excuse about creation? Because it's not hard to see that everything around us has design and purpose. Now, you also do see that we are living on a cursed planet, and that's because of the fall of man. Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed the law, and the Bible says that sin entered into the world through that. But Romans 1 verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are," what? "Clearly seen." I've just given you a few examples of things that are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are, what? Without excuse. The atheist, as far as God is concerned, is without excuse. In fact, the Bible tells us that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. It says that in Psalm 14 verse 1. The fool. So God labels such a person as a fool. So that means we've got an education system which is very foolish and based on very foolish ideas, because evolution should not fit in and does not fit in. And Christians should not compromise with evolution, try to fit creation and evolution together. It makes no sense whatsoever. So the question comes, is there evidence of design in creation? So if we're saying, well, God has designed everything, well, a very good book you might like to read is Darwin's Black Box. It says the biochemical challenged evolution by Michael Behe. And only in the last century has man been able to use microscopes to uncover molecular design, able to look right into the cell, look right into the molecular structure of things. And this is what Michael Behe says on page 51 of his 1996 publication. "As strange as it may seem, modern biochemistry has shown that the cell is operated by machines, literally molecular machines." Now, doesn't that word machine give the idea that it's been designed? And molecular machinery is all over the place in the cell and right through the body, in fact. We'll look at the example later on of the blood clotting system. But molecular machinery screams out, clearly seen, screams out for a designer, screams out that there is information that's been embedded into creation. It's clearly seen. There's no excuse for not saying that there's been intelligence that has created, a being of great intelligence has created the universe. We also see, and I mentioned before, irreducible complexity all around us. And in that same book by Michael Behe, he says on page 78 this: "Biochemical investigation has shown that blood clotting is a very complex, intricately woven system consisting of a score of interdependent protein parts, the absence of or significant defects in any one of a number of the components causes the system to fail. Blood does not clot at the proper place or at the proper time or at the proper place." You think about a little cut. It's important to have this system in operation so that your blood doesn't all come out all at once. So the blood clotting system is just one of those systems that God has put in place, and it's quite a complex system. Michael Bayer goes into quite a lot of detail to describe that system in his book. So it'd be a good one to have in your library. But you know, coming back and looking at it from a spiritual perspective, we see in Colossians 1 verse 17, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist," or are held in place. By him all things consist. So we need to remember that God is behind everything that we see, and right into this complex systems in the body, God is involved and has been involved and has put it all into place. And so there is, as we see, no excuse. And the more that science is able to look into, and science is all about observable stuff. That's why we must categorize evolution as what the Bible says, science falsely so called. It's not science, because true science is all about observation and repeating experiments and things like that. You know, it's easy to verify, for example, the law of gravity and so on. So by him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by God, all things consist. That's a good thing to remember about that. Let's have a look at an example of an evolutionist, just to see the blindness that's on their mind. And I just want to go into this particular example, just so that you understand that they realise that molecular machinery is all around them. This was written by Victoria Richards, who is winner of the 2016 Nobel Prize in Chemistry. So you'd think she must know a little bit about chemistry. She wrote an article called what? Molecular Machines. Note what she said. And this is in her article of 16th of February 2016 called Molecular Machines. What if we lived in a world run by molecular machines, too small to see, but impacting all aspects of our everyday lives? Biology uses them for absolutely everything, from harvesting energy from the sun to the way that we see, with proteins being the most complicated of the lot. Scientists have taken to calling them machines because, just like those designed by humans, they produce mechanical motion in response to an input, allowing them to perform a task. Now notice what she says next. Whereas biology has perfected its machines over billions of years of evolution, chemists keen to imitate these structures are just getting started. It's a sad situation, isn't it? A very sad situation, where the evidence is screaming at them, screaming, screaming. So I'll just go through a few points related to that article. You can look up that article on the internet. Just put in Molecular Machines, Victoria Richards, and you'll get that article. Those who are blind, note that the blindness persists even when the evidence is clear. The article uses the words wheel, motor, pump, switches, machinery, systems, all an indication of planning and design. The article ascribes the entity biology, this entity called biology that she uses, as using the molecular machines to run things, and that it has directed evolution. Doesn't make any sense, does it? But notice what 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4a says. In whom the God, little g, that's Satan, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. It is a choice, people. It is a choice. I choose not to believe in a creator. And so therefore, when I look into all of this, I'm looking at not design, but I'm looking at something that has been produced by evolution. It is a spiritual problem, and only the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can shine into people's hearts and get rid of that darkness because there is a blindness there. And that's why in Psalm 119, verse 138, it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." These people need light, don't they? They need the entrance of the Word of God to come into their hearts. And this is very, very important for us to understand. So the approach must be that ultimately the Word of God must be presented to these people, and they see, well, everything I look about me that exists matches with what the Bible is saying. That there is an intelligent being called God who has created, and he has injected information into his creation, and we see design right throughout. So the entrance of God, of God's words, will give light to people. However, what we see in our society is the pushing and teaching of evolution all through our society. The world, and I'm talking about this present evil world that we're living in, the Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. This present evil world is against, for example, Genesis 1 verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And sadly, it's pushing it on young people right through the education system. So we see these things, for example, here's an example from a children's book about dinosaurs. And it says, "Dinosaurs were land-living reptiles that came in shapes and sizes. They first appeared 230 million years ago and ruled the earth for 165 million years. This is fantasy. It's pure fantasy. It's unable and cannot be proven. It's got nothing to do with reality, and yet it's presented to the children as reality. What a sad situation we have. And this is one of the reasons why this church has consistently, on a very consistent basis, held creationist meetings. And for example, next month we're holding a film, a creationist film. So pushing and teaching evolution, even on the very youngest and most impressionable. What has to happen? The entrance of God's words has to happen in our society. That's what's got to happen. That's got to go. That fantasy's got to be destroyed. So there has to be an alternative. There has to be a place where people can, and children can come and listen and hear the truth, hear the other side of things, because it's not being presented in the schools amongst many of the institutions of the world. So the laws of information, there's laws governing information in creation. A very good book to get, which you could order off the internet, is "In the Beginning Was Information" by Dr. Werner Gitt. And this is what he says on page 135. "It should be noted that the activities of all living organisms are controlled by programs comprising information. The common factor present in all living organisms, from bacteria to man, is the information contained in all their cells. It has been discovered that nowhere else can a higher statistical packing density of information be found." In other words, a huge amount of information is packed into the cells. There's the DNA information, the genetic information, and there are all types of machinery packed in there. Obviously, there's chemical laws operating right through. So it's not hard to see now, and particularly with the level of technological science and sophistication that we have, it's not hard to see that that everything has been, in fact, designed and been made by an intelligent being of great power. And we know him as God. So is design evident in God's creation? Well, Hebrews 3 verse 4 says, "For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God." So the Bible is saying God built all things. Well, you think about that. If God built something, then he must have had a plan. He must have had materials to do the building. And he must have There must be evidence of construction. Do we see that? Well, a house must be designed before it's being built. All things are built by God, so all things must be designed. These are just simple things to know. When we examine creation, we find building blocks such as atoms and molecules. And we also know, as we've mentioned before, there are natural laws underlying built things, implying a lawmaker or a designer. These are important things for us to keep in mind, because there are many people who have been deluded and deceived by what the world says about where everything came from, and the evolutionary theory is a great stumbling block for people believing the word of God. So has the earth been created purposefully? Well, Isaiah 45 verse 18 says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else." So it tells us that God specifically formed the earth to be inhabited. Do we see that? Yes, we do. We mentioned that about the earth being just in the right place from the sun. What do we really need in our society? We need the correct foundation of knowledge. You know, Psalm 11 verse 3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" So all of these science and so on must be based, in fact, on the Bible for it to come together in a cohesive and proper manner. Not to be following after fantasy so that you get these other things such as evolution and atheism and so on, and infidelity or unfaithfulness to the word of God is what we see in our society at the moment. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7 verse 24, "Therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," that's the word of God, "and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." So our life must be built upon the rock of God's word. Our thinking must be built on the rock of God's word. Very, very important. You know, evolutionists have a massive problem. And Dr. Gary Parker, in a book called Creation, Facts of Life, 2010, page 135 and 138, this is what he says: "Evolution demands an increase in the quantity and quality of genetic information and uses mutation selection. And mutation selection, no matter how long you wait, cannot provide it." So what evolution, and you can see in this column here, what evolution is saying, we believe that everything came from a small gene pool, from like an amoeba. And as I said before, amoeba does not have much DNA information in it, not much genetic information in it, right down to the complexity we see in humans and other animals. And that's much more information. How do you get that information? Well, they talk about mutations, and they talk about natural selection. But mutations really measure the amount of genetic disease in organisms. And natural selection is just selecting what is already present so that there can be adaption to environments. It's got nothing to do with adding information so that you can go from an amoeba to a human. So obviously, in the creation perspective, we already started with the different kinds. The Bible tells us that God created the different kinds, and that those kinds divided and migrated and were selected. So the information was compartmentalised over there. You probably remember the Bible in about the Tower of Babel, where the families, their languages were confused, and the families went off in various directions. And so that's how you get people of different colours and different looks and so on. So there's the different kinds, and within those kinds there can be change, you know. You can have within the dog kind, from the Chihuahua right up to the Great Dane, but they're still dogs, aren't they? The same within the cat kind and so on. That what we see in creation all around us, what we see is easily explained by the creation model, but is impossible to explain by the evolutionary model. So there's a massive problem for evolutionists. For an animal to change into another kind, information would have to be added. So amoeba information is much, much less than human information. There is no mechanism for this to occur. Genetic mutations do not add information but harm the organism and take away information. Natural selection selects characteristics from information that already exists. Sadly, right through the education system, there are people who are deceived into thinking that evolution has been proven and so on, when that's not the case at all. And God has raised up the creationist movement, and it's not hard for those who want to find out more about, has God created or is evolution true? It's not hard to find that out. One argument that is used against creationists is there's certain aspects in creation that seem to be designed to hurt and destroy. Now we've got to remember that in Genesis 1 verse 31, it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." So right at the very beginning, everything was very good. There was no death. But what happened? Well, disobedience or sin brought in changes to creation. We see that in Genesis 3:17b and verse 18. It says, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." And if we look at, and I will turn to Romans 5 verse 12. And if you've got a Bible, just quickly turn to that, Romans 5 verse 12. Because this is an important thing to understand, that we are living on a cursed planet at the moment. So you do see various things that have changed because of sin in the creation. And this is what it says in Romans 5 verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So death passed upon all men because of the disobedience of one man, that's Adam. And if you also look at Romans 8:22, and this is the last scripture we'll look at tonight, Romans 8:22, notice what it says here, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." So the whole of creation is groaning and travailing. So you see all types of bad things at the moment in operation in creation. It doesn't mean that God has failed. It means that sin has entered in, and one day, sin is going to be dealt with completely. And we know that individually we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be washed clean of all our sin. And this is very important for us to understand, that we can be born again, we can be saved and cleansed by the precious blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be made a new creature in Christ, the Bible tells us. It's important for us to see at the moment that the whole of the physical creation is groaning and travailing because of the curse of sin. And that won't be until, it won't be dealt with fully until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But so at the moment, we're living in a present evil world. So it's not hard to explain these things, but you have to come from a biblical perspective. And the more you get into the Word of God, the more you'll understand these things. This presentation will be on the church website. I'll put together a few references as well at the end there. But let's close in prayer, and I'll pray a prayer over the supper as well. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your wonderful blessing. We thank you for your word that gives light into our hearts. And Father, I pray that every person here would have an open heart to the things of God, open heart to the word of God, to the truth of God, and see that everything around has been made for your glory, and that it has been marred by sin. But Lord, you have sent the Lord Jesus Christ to deal with that sin. And Father, we ask now that the Lord Jesus be exalted in our life, and that our eyes be opened, our ears be open to hearing your word, to seeing your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And we'll also just pray a prayer to bless the food. Father, we ask that the food and drink be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.